I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. Before we get into results roundup, I think we've got to start the show by saying a huge congratulations to Norwich City and Sheffield United on their promotion. We're going to be touching a lot on both of those teams this evening because we are joined with Lewis Hobbs, obviously a United fan, and Jake Jackman's with us as well, who's going to take us through results roundup, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so we'll go back to Saturday. The early kickoff was Millwall versus Stoke, which finished 0-0. Going on to the 3 o'clock kickoffs, we had Preston drawing 3-3 with Sheffield Wednesday. We had Birmingham drawing 1-1 with Wigan. West Brom coming from behind to beat Rotherham 2-1. Swansea dropping a lead at home to Hull to draw 2-2. Middlesbrough coming from behind to beat Reading. Bolton and Brentford was of course postponed, which we might come on to later. Bristol City versus Derby in what was a huge playoff contest at Ashton Gate, finished 2-0 to Derby, with Bristol City having a player sent off. Then obviously moving on to the main events of Saturday, which was seeing Sheffield United beat the already relegated Ipswich 2-0 to get promoted. And of course Norwich went to beat Blackburn 2-1 to also get promoted. And then we had Leeds and Aston Villa playing out quite a thrilling 1-1 draw. Well, not thrilling, but there was a lot of controversy involved, which I'm sure we'll come on to later as well.
Yeah, I'm guessing that one will be talked about. And also to confirm, which we've not mentioned, like you said, Rotherham relegated now with Bolton and Ipswich, which we'll come on to later. But let's talk big wins from the weekend. We'll come to you, Lewis. I'm sure the biggest win of the weekend for you was Sheffield United's victory. But if you want to include that game, that's fine. But are there any other particular games that stand out for you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to include the game that sends you up. Not just us, but Norwich's 2-1 victory against Blackburn. Especially taking that 2-0 lead and then conceding more or less directly after for Norwich. I mean, you can see that there'll have been a lot of questions asked on the Norwich players and whether they can keep the bottle. I know the word bottle gets thrown around in the Championship more than it should, but they did. They went on and were comfortably defeated Blackburn at home, as they should have. The same story as for us against Ipswich. Both games, really, either team had to worry, and we're comfortably now both promoted from it. But, I mean, I'm sure it's the game that the two of you are both going to go on to. But Derby beating Bristol 2-0, especially for the playoff picture, it's obviously now the only... That sixth spot is the only thing we've really got to talk about now, going into the last day, with the relegated and promoted teams sorted. But if Frank Lampard is going to be taking Derby to the Premiership or the playoffs at least, away at Ashton Gate, it was a massive victory for him.
It was, yeah.
A big, big performance from especially the loan players, watching the highlights. Mason Mount at it again. I mean, he's been unbelievable for them, but just really seems to know how to dictate the pace of the Championship. And it will be interesting to see if Derby did get to the playoffs, because someone like him, Harry Wilson, when you do get to the playoffs, form, how your season's gone, really does just get thrown away. Kind of like Derby games, each playoff, it's exactly like a Derby. So having these young English players like Derby do, with just nothing really to play for, because at the end of the day, they're going to go back to their parent clubs nice and happy. They've had successful spells. So it'd be really interesting if those type of players can kick on and get the teams promoted.
Yeah, definitely. They're the three games I've written down. You know, you can't look past the two promoted teams in terms of the contest and the value of getting promoted and going up. Just to add as well, Vrančić scored an absolute screamer for Norwich, which was probably one of the goals of the day. And then again, yeah, it's in Derby's hands now. The playoff picture, or should I say sixth spot. Have you got anything to add to that, Jake? Or any other games?
No, it's difficult, isn't it? It's not as much to play for as you would have hoped. Obviously, going to the final day, you've still got who wins the championship. It is still to be decided, and obviously that sixth playoff spot. But it is a little bit disappointing. It's difficult to pick sort of any of the games, really, because there wasn't that much on the line in a lot of them. Obviously, the matches for Sheffield United and Norwich were special for their supporters, as Lewis touched on. You've to get promoted at home with, you know, a game to spare is always good. And I think both of them have deserved over the season. Leeds also unlucky not to get promoted, but their recent blip has meant that probably the right two teams have gone up, to be honest. I think Leeds have always had that little bit more inconsistency. Obviously, lost 12 matches. I think it is deserved. I'd just like to go on to that Leeds-Aston Villa game purely because of
just going to ask you, Jake. Do you think Bielsa made the right decision giving Villa the goal? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it was an easy one to go for him, because they weren't really going to lose anything in that game at that point, because even if they'd have won, promotion's unlikely, isn't it? So I think it after what happened with the Spygate, I think it was quite an easy win for him, really, with the media to get some good favour. It wasn't a lot riding on the game, so it could potentially be a playoff final, that one, really. So it'd be interesting to see if it was that. Just something I have noticed, Louis, which I thought is worth touching on, is that if West Brom win on the final day, obviously they've got Derby, so that's a difficult game. If they win and Leeds lose, they'd actually go above them into third place. Do you think
they would? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think Leeds would want to hang on to that third place now? Because Aston Villa are probably the ones to avoid for me.
I do exactly that. I was just going to say, I think Villa are the ones to avoid. They'd probably be my tip for the playoffs to go all the way, which is one of the topics later on. But I think Leeds are definitely wanting a point at least on the final day to maybe get Derby, just because Derby have been on, you know, up and down all season, whereas Villa are on fine form, you know, one of the form teams in the country, let's say, even though Derby have picked up also. But I think if you were to play either Villa or Derby in the semi-finals, you'd probably choose Derby in that regard. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so as well. And I think it showed in that game. I think Villa were probably the better team for me. I thought they played very well, and you could see why they were the form team. Leeds had a lot of possession again, but I always thought that Villa were the more dangerous team. Despite having less possession, I think that's how it would play out in the playoffs as well. So I think it is. Yeah, I think they need to get third place, because Derby, although they've had a mini revival recently, I don't think they do lose a lot of games. They're very inconsistent. And I think over a two-legged affair, you'd fancy Leeds in that one. So I think, yeah, they've got to hang on to that third place for me.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they will do it. And it's a case that Derby just need to finish sixth. Middlesbrough, obviously, Bristol City, not out of the picture just yet. But like I said earlier, it is in Derby's hands. It'll be interesting to see if players like Bamford, Hurrihan, El Ghazi, what's going to happen to them with those predicaments they're in at the minute regarding red cards and potential bans if, the FA look into it as such, or the EFL, should I say. But let's come on to standout players of the week and why. So if we come to, you know, yourself, Lewis, I've got four players written down. What particular players stood out for you over the weekend, mate?
So I touched on Mason Mount. I thought he was fantastic for Derby. Sheffield United, Jack O'Connell was fantastic.
He was, yeah.
Assist. and a goal. But just all around his game, with the game having such magnitude and so much to play for, you need your big players to stand up and to give the role. And you could see that it was a real, real captain-like performance from him, I thought. There was a couple times in the game where a few of our players did drop their heads, especially when we was 1-0 up in the first half. A few of the players, I kind of thought, was maybe playing as if we were already in the Premier League. And maybe not showing Ipswich as much respect as they deserve. But Jack O'Connell was one of those players who were getting the team up and spurring us on to that the crucial victory. A player which I hope's on your list, well, I say hope, I know he will be, Barry Bannon.
He's not on my list, actually, but he'd have been a close fifth. I know he managed to get the goal and the assist. To be honest, I've picked out players that had more of an influence based on the promotion push, if you like. So I've definitely got Jack O'Connell on there. And then I'll name the other three and we can come to Jake. And if you've got any more, Lewis, we can touch upon that. But I've got Jack O'Connell. Steeperman for Norwich, I thought he was very influential again, as he has been week in, week out. I wrote down McBurney, actually, because he managed to score a brace against Hull in that 2-2 draw. And then the other one, I often name players what score or get assists, but again, I'd like to name a keeper, which was Roos for Derby County, managing to keep that clean sheet away to Bristol City, because we've touched upon how vital that game was. Have you got anyone else you wanted to mention, Lewis? I know you touched on Bannon there, which is definitely another good shout.
Yeah, I mean, Derby had a lot of good players of the day. I mean, Keogh, I don't like to admit it, but Keogh had a fantastic game and he really showed his leadership qualities in getting Derby over the edge. I know he's liable to throw in a few mistakes per game, but he kept really level-headed. He didn't lose the plot at all in the game. And he really pushed on. Yeah.
Have you got any other, Jake, you'd like to add to the list as such?
No, I think you covered most of them there. The only one I would like to give a mention to is Rakeem Harper from West Brom, who got a goal and looked very assured in the middle of the park. Yeah, it was only against Rotherham, but you know, for a player coming through the youth academy and to be getting a chance in the first team to get a goal at this point, putting himself in contention to play in the playoffs, I think it's quite important, and I'm quite excited to see more of him. He looks like an exciting talent, likes to run on the ball, quite good in the air, looks physically ready for this division. So yeah, I'm excited to see more of him. He looks like a good player for the future.
Definitely, yeah, and it was a good strike as well, a bit out of the blue, but obviously found the net. So let's go into the topics proper now, where we're going to review the seasons of the promoted and the relegated teams and touch on anything you want to as such. So we'll start with you, Jake, because I know Lewis will have a lot to say about Sheffield United. Do you want to talk Norwich City and their promotion and a quick review of their season?
Yeah, well, I've been mixed on Norwich all season. I think I've changed my view on them quite a few times. I know James was quite big on them at the start of the season. We're tipping them for an outside shot for the playoffs, and he thought that was he still goes on about it, but he only said the playoffs, so it wasn't that out there. But you know, they've done very well this year. I think Pookie has been an amazing signing, nearing 30 goals now. He's got 28 goals and 9 assists, so excellent signing. And to take a gamble on him from Celtic, he didn't really do great in Scotland, but he's come down and done excellently, and it is a perfect fit for this Norwich team.
Yeah,
and you know, the other players they've got: Buendia, Hernandez, Steeperman, Zimmerman, Leitner. There's a lot. It's very reminiscent of the Huddersfield team that went up. You know, they've taken gambles on these exciting and tested players abroad. You know, they're not really young players, but they've obviously thought they're ready to come into England and do a job in the second tier, and they've done that. And added to those, you've got Lewis and Godfrey and Aarons, who've all had excellent seasons. So you know, all under the age of 21. So they've had a good blend there, and they have been really good to watch. And You know, if you just look at their stats, they average 55% possession in every game. They average around 2 goals a game, get plenty of shots in. You know, they are very good to watch and they create a lot of chances. The one slight disappointment with them, it's not really a disappointment, but one thing they're going to have to work on in the Premier League is their defence. You know, they've conceded 56 goals over a goal a game, which isn't great at all, and it's significantly worse than the Sheffield United defence, which is going up alongside them. So that's an area that they're going to need to work on, because in the Premier League, you will get punished for playing the way they do. You know, there's more. Even the worst teams in the Premier League have players that can take you apart on their day. Yeah. So it's something they're going to have to work on. But you don't really want to put a down on at this point. They've had a great season.
No.
And I've seen a lot of interesting things about what they're going to do in the summer. I think I've heard a maximum of 20 million transfer budget, which I mean, you don't want to go and do what Fulham did and throw the kitchen sink at it and completely destroy the team that got you up. But I also think you need to spend a little bit of money if you want to stay in the Premier League. And I don't think 20 million quite cuts it these days. I know what my team, Newcastle, we don't spend a lot of money. And even we've gone out and spent 20 million on a player recently. So you've got to, I think that there's a balance. And it's important to find that balance. I think Cardiff have done a good job of it despite going back down, because they haven't damaged themselves in the long term. But it's getting harder and harder to stay in that Premier League. It is. We're seeing Huddersfield come back. We're seeing Fulham come back. We're probably going to see Cardiff come back as well. It is difficult. But for this season, they've been excellent and they play really good football. And in the games that mattered, when they had, I think it was a home against Sheffield United, wasn't it, Lewis? You took the lead twice and they managed to get a point out of that one, which was big at the time. Then they followed that up with a win against Leeds. So I think it was those two games that really turned it for them. You know, if they hadn't have got back against Sheffield United, then went and lost to Leeds, they probably wouldn't have gone on and got promotion. So it's those two games, it really did turn it for them. And once they got through that, they didn't really look back, and it was difficult not to see them getting promoted. And now, of course, they want to go on and finish the job away against Aston Villa, which is not going to be an easy task at all. I think Sheffield United right in this title race, even if, you know, can you consider it a title race? Does the title really matter in the Championship? I'm not sure it really does, but it'll be a nice way to cap off the season for either team.
It would, yeah. And I've got one final question for you, because obviously you're a neutral. So if you had to choose the manager of the season between Wilder and Farke, who would you choose and why?
I think that's difficult, because they've both done very well in different circumstances.
Yeah.
Wilder has built a team from League One, and they had that 1 year in the Championship and then went on to get promotion, which is an amazing achievement, considering how long Sheffield United were in League One and struggling to get out of that. To come up in the Championship and do it in two seasons is very impressive. But Norwich, Farke has built.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so difficult.
I'd have to sit on the fence a little bit. If I had to choose, I would go for each manager for different reasons, but I'm slightly swayed towards Wilder, knowing like what you've just touched upon, coming from League One, not made, you know, huge or significant signings and being on a budget, you know, for a few years now and managing to get promoted. And I've always written them off. That's probably one of the other reasons why I'm saying Sheffield United, just because I thought all season Sheffield United slip away and, you know, finish sixth or seventh, and they've proven me wrong week in, week out. So that's credit to Wilder. But it's, you know, safe to say and nice to see that Norwich and Sheffield United, Wilder and Farke, both teams and managers who've been promoted, which has been a bit of a surprise, because if you'd have gone back to the beginning of the season, we know games played, you've probably looked at your Middlesbroughs, your Stokes, your West Broms, your Swanseas, your Villa, all to finish above those two teams potentially. So to see them go up is a bit of a surprise, but at the same time, it's very good to see. It's similar to like when Huddersfield went up in many ways. So if you want to touch on Sheffield United, Lewis, review your season and what your thoughts going into next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I mean, it's a remarkable achievement for us, not to discredit Norwich in any way. But like you said, Lua, I feel like Norwich, ever since their strong end to 2018, have kind of always been up there, and no one's really thought these are going to tail off because they do have the class players. All their recruits, their entire front four recruited in the summer, all kick-started off, and they never really looked like tailing off, which they never did. But we've been questioned all season. I mean, getting promoted with Billy Sharp and David McGoldrick as your starting strike force. I mean, if you were to tell anyone at the start of the season, whether they're wearing Sheffield United shirts, Sheffield Wednesday shirts, any Championship shirt, that's on paper, that isn't a Championship promotion strike force. But somehow Chris Wilder has got nearly 40 goals out of the two of them.
Yeah.
And it's just a remarkable, I mean, I saw an article that Danny Hall wrote, the Sheffield Star, and Chris Wilder took his first ever managerial job at Alfreton Town in 2002. And not including promotion seasons, every season of career he's built on the season before in a points tally. So divisionally, he's finished above where he did last year every single season of his 17-year management career, which I just think is a real testament to him. And off the
Definitely,
top of my
yeah.
head, I can't think of a Premier League manager that has done the route one way. I mean, from the National League North, we're working his entire way up to the Premier League in 17 years. It's a great achievement, and we've seen it now with Bielsa coming out in interviews. A footballing brain as Bielsa, and he's admitted of what a genius Wilder is and the style of football he's playing, and it is remarkable. And I think it will now go very mainstream when we hit the Premier League, because I do think we have gone very under the radar this year, because I don't think you can pick a star player in our team, really. With Norwich, you watch Norwich play and they have that individual brilliance every game, like Buendia or Hernandez. They will do something fantastic. Like you saw with Vrančić, his fantastic goal. We haven't really had that. We've had Ollie Norwood pop up every month or so with a fantastic 40-yard pass, but it hasn't really got the publicity that Norwich have. And I think us going to the Premier League, I mean, it's a massive if and but on whether Wilder's tactics will work. And God knows how Wilder's transfer policy is going to happen in the Premier League, because there's a lot of people who are apparently close to the club who are adamant we still don't have any foreign scouts. I mean, I don't know how true that is, but going into the Premier League with not a single foreign scout is quite risky business, because the policy of only signing British players surely will be going out of the window, because yeah, we can drop back down to the Championship and sign the likes of Maupay, Jared Bowen, but they're not going to be tested, and someone of the same calibre you could maybe get from Germany for $5 million, while you're going to have to pay 20 for Jared Bowen.
Yeah, it's a good point. If I had to push you for a prediction where you'll finish in the Premier League next season, Luis, what would you say?
I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say relegated. I'd be the worst fan in the world if I were to come on here and say that we're going to get relegated. It's going to be really interesting. I don't think we're going to go on and have a Wolves season. I don't think we're going to be challenging for Europe, put it that way. But I think if Wilder gets it his own way, he gets a reasonable transfer budget. And I don't even, you said about the 20 million, with Wilder, I think if Wilder got 20, 30, 40 million, maybe, he could get some real talent. I mean, you talk to any Blade out there. We want to see David McGoldrick and Billy Sharp starting next season. Mm. We don't want a 15, 20 million pound striker from Spain, or I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just that there's that much love for this group, and this group has done so much for us and come in such a short period of time. It's a League One. It was a League One team on paper, would have been two seasons ago. And Chris Wilder's converted it into a Premier League team. So I'll say we're going to narrowly just be safe. 16th.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen teams do it in the past, like, you know, your Brightons, your Bournemouths. There's no reason why Sheffield United can't stay up. It's just, like you say, it's going to be a very, very tough test. But yeah, testament to Wilder, like you say, and you know, only the future and time will tell with that one. I think he has got a great group collectively, but additionally, he still needs to bring in a couple of players. But it's about spending that money wisely to stay in the Premier League. So just let's quickly,
yeah, Louis, go on, just Jake. Before we move on, I just want to get Lewis's thoughts on Wilder in the Premier League, and do you think he'll do well there, and if you say had a bad start and lost 10 of your first 14 games, would fans get on his back, or has he got so much credit in the bank? Obviously he's a homeboy and he's got you up two divisions. You'd like to think that wouldn't happen, but you know, in modern football, anything does happen. You see supporters calling for manager's head. I've seen Liverpool fans calling for Klopp's head this season. So, it does happen. Where does he stand in the Premier League, and how much support does he have, and will that stay even if, you do start poorly?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it will stay. Maybe if we go up and we don't win a single game, maybe we'll start to question if we have a really bad start and he keeps true to the formation, to the system, and doesn't try to adapt anything, then maybe people might start questioning. But I just think how it's happened for us, you can just see with the celebrations how much it means to him. He's a fan before he's the manager, which just does it for us. And a big reason why I don't think we would turn on him is you look at the last time we were in the Premier League. I know it was nearly 100 years ago, 12, but the fans never turned on Warnock. They have since, but when Warnock resigned last time, the fans never turned on him. And I don't think if it's not in our hands and Wilder gives it a good go, and at the end of the day, we're just not good enough, and maybe he doesn't get backed by the board, I think it'll still be just as a cult hero. There's already people out there, plenty of journalists saying he's Sheffield United's best ever for what he's done. So I don't think we'll ever lose that respect for him.
No, I agree. I think as well, Jake, if you were to ask me, that even if Wilder did have a terrible season in the Premier League, I think that the board will stick with him, because he's probably, if Sheffield United become a yo-yo team long term, he's probably the man to take them back up again in the season after or after that again. So for me...
Yeah, if I could just put one more point.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing that maybe would worry me is... I don't know if you were listening to TalkSport just after we got promoted, but they were getting fans of all different clubs on, and there was one Arsenal fella, and he was, we need him at Arsenal.
Right.
I think Wilder is our biggest asset currently, and I think maybe now people will want to snipe him, and... if we do go back down and he is to stay with us, that value of Chris Wilder will probably drop. And so I don't expect him to leave in the summer, but I expect some clubs to be going after him.
I'm sure some clubs will start hovering around him, yeah, when it gets to mid-stage next season, despite, you know, whatever happens to Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Most likely. But do you want to come to you, Jake, and so let's discuss the teams what got relegated. Obviously, Rotherham confirmed now, as well as Bolton and Ipswich. You could probably say that none of those teams going down has come as a surprise, but do you want to just quickly sum them up as a threesome going down?
Yeah, I think Ipswich, it's another one of those stories, you know, be careful what you wish for. I'm sure they'll still be saying they didn't want Mick McCarthy and that the mistakes were made after, and that's probably true. Paul Lambert was never the man to get them out of it, as we said, and I think even given Paul Hurst a bit more time, if they were going to go down, he'd be the type of manager you'd want to bring them back up. So I think they went too early on sacking him and then, yeah, brought in the wrong man, and it's just it Mick McCarthy's credit and as a manager has gone up a lot throughout the season, even though he's barely managed a couple of games for the Republic of Ireland, which he's not done great in, but I'm sure another Football League club will come into him based on what he did at Ipswich.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been in the second tier, I think it's the longest than any club in the top four leagues has had in a single division, or at least in the Football League. I know that much. So
yeah,
it's a very long...
57 years, I believe, or something like that. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is a very long time. But yeah, they'll be going back down and that, yeah, I think it's a shame for them, but they were never really in the season. Bolton, we've known all about the problems there. The fact they've got 32 points is amazing, really, considering everything that's gone on there. And I think Phil Parkinson's just been unlucky to be manager of that club, because I think he's quite a good manager, really. He's just had so many problems, and they'll go back down, and I don't think we'll see them back up this time. And Rotherham, a lot better than last time they're in the Championship. They've got a lot to build on. Hopefully they'll keep Paul Warne, because I think he's doing well there. I wouldn't be surprised if they came back next season. I think they've got that core. They benefited from the relegation last year to come up back in the playoffs, and I think they're an even better team now, and there's a few players there that the Championship clubs will be going in for.
Yeah. So
it is, I think they can feel unfortunate. They were always in games. They were rarely well beaten. And if they had a couple more decisions, just a couple of shots go in, you know, it was so close for them this time. And they could feel really unfortunate. But if you are fighting for your life and you lose four of your last five matches, you probably do deserve to go down. But it was very small margins for Rotherham this year. And the fact they're only 4 points off it now, it shows how close they did come.
It was, yeah. I think if, you know, everyone had to choose a team they feel sorry for that's gone down, it would be Rotherham. You only have to look at how many goals they scored, actually. It's crazy to think they scored 51 goals and scored four more goals than Middlesbrough this season. It was sat in seventh. It's just obviously the defence that's let them down, and they have been in games, like you say, and just fallen short. I know we predicted that they'd probably come 22nd. They have done, but Warne can take a lot of credit going into next season, and you know, it won't surprise me, like you said, if they do come straight back up or at least get into the playoffs. But I'm going to come to you, Lewis, and ask you now regarding the playoff predictions. Which team, I know all four aren't confirmed as yet, but which team do you fancy to win the playoffs this season? And if Lampard or Pulis miss out and finish seventh, let's say, will one of those managers be sacked, do you think?
Yeah. So I'll start off with the Lampard and Pulis, because I do think Derby will squeeze in sixth. So, but with Lampard, I think he has it quite a bit tougher than what Pulis does, especially with a lot of his key players being in on loan. You have Tomori at the back, Wilson and Mount. Players that they've built their style of play and built this season around, they're all going to be going back to the Premiership, to the parent clubs. And
yeah,
from a Sheffield United perspective, if we were to go up and Chelsea or Liverpool were to offer us Mason Mount and Harry Wilson on loan, I'd definitely take it for the Premier League season. And I'm sure I won't be the only Premier League supporter that take either of the players next year. So I can't see those players going back. And apart from that, it's going to be, if they don't go up, I don't think Lampard will lose his job. Whether he gets playoffs or not, I just don't see it happening. Maybe it is just solely down to that, to the reputation he has. And it is his first year in management. And your first year in management, being at obviously the chairman, and the owners won't admit it, but Derby does seem to be a bit of a poison chalice, a bit of perennial bottlers, a bit like Leeds have been in previous years, always seem to get it just at the end and then fall off. They've kind of done it opposite way. They've gone on a little run of form in the last five, six games. I don't see him doing anything in playoffs, but I don't see Lampard getting the sack. Moving to Pulis, I think he definitely has to go. One of my closest friends, he's a Middlesbrough fan, and even when they were sat comfortably in fourth position, he still didn't understand why he was in a job. Whether you're going up, you're staying in the division, whatever, Tony Pulis is not the man you want in your club. And especially where he's now playing football, you're not in a relegation battle anymore, Tony. And that's the football he's kind of playing. He's playing, yeah. He's scraping for those points to keep in a division, not to get out of one. And like you said, I didn't even think about that before you've said it. Rotherham scoring more goals than Middlesbrough. That is incredible. And I mean, you can't disrespect the way Tony Pulis defends a ball, but the way he sets up his team to defend, it jeopardises the full attacking display. Just to point out, when Middlesbrough came to Bramall Lane at the start of 2019, they never looked in the game at all. We brought on Gary Medine and Richard Stearman in the second half, two of our tallest players, and as soon as we started winning those aerial duels, none of the players had a clue what to do. A player like Gary Medine against Middlesbrough, they don't know how to counter-attack their own style of play, and that's something Tony Pulis really needs to build on. And if I was Tony Pulis, I'd be worried about getting a new job, because he's probably the type of manager, a bit like Alan Pardew, he's a bit snubby. He probably won't want to take like your bottom half championship jobs, but I'm afraid for him, if he misses out on the playoffs, I think that's where he's going to be going, because especially no Premier League teams and especially top-end championship teams aren't going to want him.
I agree with exactly what you've said. I think Pulis will get the sack come the end of the season, or you know, in the next few weeks, to be honest. And I don't think Lampard will do whatever the outcome, whether they finish sixth and fail in the playoffs, or whether they finish seventh and miss out. I think he'll be given till next season as well to, you know, get things right. But he's relying on a lot of lone players, like you say. Just one word answer or one team answer, Lewis. If you predict a playoff winner this season, who are you going to go for?
Aston Villa.
I agree. I think Villa as well. We'll come to you, Jake, and ask you the same question regarding Pulis and Lampard and your prediction for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think for Lampard to get Derby in the playoffs is quite a good achievement, to be honest. I think in his first season, a lot of lone players, but you know, that's a skill to get them to gel as well. And top six, very good finish for him. And I don't think he'll be sacked, but I don't think he'll be there next season. So I think he's going to I think he's going to go to Chelsea, because I think that seems to be the way things are going in the press. They wanted Lampard last summer. He's now had a season. They've trusted him with Mount and Tomori. They've both done well. I think he's going to go to Chelsea, especially if their transfer ban. I don't think they're going to be able to attract the best manager, you know, one of the top managers, and I think they're going to take a punt on Lampard. So I think he's going to leave. And for Pulis, yeah, he's going to get the sack, but I also think he'll probably be in the Premier League next season because he's never been relegated from that division. And once it gets desperate down there, we see what clubs do, and he's going to get another Premier League job. Yeah, that's just the way things roll in the Premier League. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was the team that cut. You know, I could see him at Aston Villa next season, to be honest.
You were going to say Sheffield United.
I was, but I didn't want to quite. I didn't want to quite. I didn't want to do that with Lewis on the pod. Oh dear, no!
You ruined his night.
Yeah, I could. Or I can say with Brighton, to be honest. You can't
send him those nightmares.
No.
I agree. It would make sense if he goes to a team that are struggling. You know, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th next season.
He's probably better suited to do that, to be honest. He's probably better suited to do it.
Yeah.
A question for Lewis, because I remember the last time he was on this podcast, he was adamant the team that failed to get automatic promotion would win the playoffs, and yet he's changed his mind and wondering why that was. Is it something to do with Leeds, or is it just purely Villa coming into form the way they have?
If you want my honest opinion, why I said that. Was a slight bit of bias because I was a bit scared that we might finish third.
Yeah.
So if we were to finish third, I would have always backed us, but that was just keeping my back a bit. I mean, Aston Villa, they're the team in form, and Leeds. It's like in the past 22 games, the reason why we're up in that amount of time, we've conceded 12 goals and only lost 2 games. In that time, Leeds have lost 7.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they've tailed off and they've not achieved. But like we talked about last time, for Aston Villa, they had quite a dry start to the season and they've punted on, they've drove forward and they've had a fantastic end to it. Similar to Fulham, not to the extent of Fulham, but very similar. And it's always those teams come playoff time that was dying to clinch playoffs. Leeds are going to be gutted. Leeds fans are absolutely gutted that they've got playoffs. And I bet the players are as well. And if Bielsa is to get them out, that'll be a testament to him. And a lot of people are already writing Leeds off because they think Bielsa is just a footballing brain and he's not a good man manager. If Leeds are to get promoted, he must be a fantastic man manager. Because I can't even think to how disheartened the Leeds players will be.
Yeah, I completely understand your reasonings for that, Lewis. So what's your playoff prediction, Jake, if you had to choose one team as well?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Derby. The team that's massively fancied, it was Sheffield Wednesday a couple of years ago. I know Fulham did it last year, but normally the team that's massively fancied don't go on and win those playoffs. So I think it's going to be Derby. And my reasoning for this, there is a reason, and it's one that, you know, they're finishing in quite good form, got a good win against Bristol City in what was kind of like a playoff game, really, because both teams needed to win. And if you look at their cup runs this year, Lampard seems to be quite good in those cup ties. Beat a lot of Premier League clubs in both cup competitions. So for that reason, I just fancy them. I think to get them into the playoffs is a step further than recent managers have done. And I think he's going to go on and win them. Because Villa are the main threat. I just think that team, they never go to the team that's massively fancied. It rarely does. So I'm going to go Derby.
It's a good point, and I'm glad you've picked someone else other than Villa, actually. We can't all choose Villa, can we? And you know, Derby, you know, we talk about how good Villa are and the form they're on. Well, you know, Derby have won 3 of the last 4, so maybe it's coming good for them at the right time. So you make a valid point, Jake. But let's go into previews and predictions. All the games and final games, obviously, of the season on Sunday, all kicking off at 12:30. Every game I've picked for the, you know, previews and prediction has a bearing on the final places in the playoff spots, so 6 if you like. So the first game we like to preview and predict is Derby versus West Brom. Do you want to just talk us through that one, Lewis, and your score prediction?
Yeah, like I said, I think Derby will get 6, so I am predicting a Derby win here. Not just because West Brom will be fielding a slightly poorer team, but Derby have got Swansea midweek, and I don't think they'll win there. I think Swansea might keep Derby to a draw at the Liberty. So my thinking behind giving the win to Derby is they're going to get a bit disheartened midweek, go on to West Brom. West Brom don't risk Dwight Gale or Rodriguez. And it won't be a convincing victory by any stretch. But I think your likes of Wilson, Mount, will come big. And I'll predict 2-1 Derby.
What are your thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I think Derby are going to come out on top. I think Lewis is right to say West Brom will likely rest players. So yeah, I think Derby will have enough and clinch that final playoff spot.
I'm going to go for a draw, actually. I think it'll be 1-1, but I still think Derby will finish sixth, obviously, and then play whoever finishes third in the league, which is likely to be Leeds United. But next game, preview and prediction, Lewis, again, we'll come to you. Hull versus Bristol City. What's your thoughts on that one?
I think Bristol City will win the victory. By then, probably won't matter. I mean, did you have Millwall midweek? Is that right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
They should beat Millwall, but especially Millwall at home is just one of those teams. I mean, if I was in Derby's position, that would be one of the last teams I'd want to travel to. Bristol, sorry. Yeah. The Den. It's just a horrible place to go. Bit of a hostile atmosphere at times. And they're just a team that can grind you out. I mean, they've got nothing to play for, but they're the teams that are always scary. I mean, every team now has nothing to play for practically, but I imagine Bristol City are really scared about that tie. But if it goes Derby's way, Bristol City can get 6 points and miss out on playoffs. I'll go 1-0 Bristol.
And your thoughts, Jake, on that one?
Yeah, I agree. I think Bristol will win that and finish the season on a high.
I disagree with you both. I have a feeling Hull City will win this one. I think my reason behind it is that Bristol City, I believe that, you know, confidence may have gone. They're pretty much, you know, unlikely to get into the playoffs now. I'd like them to push Derby, but for whatever reason, I just think final game of the season, Hull City at home, decent atmosphere. I'm just going to predict a random scoreline and go 2-1 to Hull City, which will be unfortunate because Bristol City is one of the teams I'd like to see get sixth spot, but I've just got to go with my instinct. And then final game, Lewis, is Rotherham, already relegated, against Middlesbrough, who have got, you know, an outside chance of getting in the playoffs with only one game remaining for them versus, you know, Derby and Bristol City, who've still got two games remaining to play. What's your preview and prediction for that game?
Yeah, I think Rotherham are really going to want to end the season on high. Pulis with an outside chance. I mean, if Derby win midweek, that's practically Middlesbrough out of the race because Middlesbrough aren't going to win 9-0. Have they even scored 9 goals all season? Probably not. I think if I'm going to give a prediction, I reckon it's going to be a bore draw. I think it'll be a good result for Millers, who are going to end on a high, probably holding out Middlesbrough, but Middlesbrough won't have enough to get past the line.
It's a good point. I've got a similar prediction as well. What's your thoughts on that, Jake?
Yeah, I think I agree as well. I can't see Middlesbrough winning. I think Rotherham will want to go out on a high, as Lewis alluded to. So yeah, I think they'll get at least a draw, maybe even a win. I might go for a Rotherham win just to put the final nail into Pulis's coffin.
Well, I'm going to go for a draw, but I completely understand why you said that. I'll go 1-1. But obviously we've got to wait till Sunday to find out. But unfortunately, guys, with that, we're out of time. If you'd like to let our listeners know where they can find you, now would be a good time.
I'm Lewis, and this will probably be my final Championship podcast as I'm off to the Premier League. So hopefully I won't see you next season, but we might do. if it doesn't go to plan. But anyway, you can find me on Twitter at @_LH9_.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at JackJack with two N's. I am also in the Premier League, so listen to the Premier League show. I think I'm on it this weekend, so give that one a listen. And yeah, anything I write or do, I'll post my Twitter feed.
And I've been your host at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter. Remember to follow the show at Championship Pod, where we post each show to our pin tweet. Please subscribe, like and retweet the show. We want to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.